It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We're back with hour two, and we start hour two with Keith. He wants to talk a little NFL training camp. What's up, Keith?
Sorry. Hey, Dale, it's Keith. I had a question about the Indianapolis Colts. You know, they're giving Alec Pierce $29 million a year. They have Daniel Jones, who's maybe rushing back from a severe knee injury. Michael Pittman just walks out the door. You know, they don't really bring in any true threat. You know, is it just, are they just hoping that Josh Downs eats up a bunch of targets? Tyler Warren has another good season, but like, there's like literally nobody at wide receiver on that roster, behind Josh Downs with Pierce hurt and Pittman gone. And, you know, what are the Colts doing? You think they're going to bring in anybody? Is your Dolphins legend, Westbrook Akine, going to be, you know, a player and gain some targets? What are the Colts doing in terms of wide receivers?
Well, they traded, as you mentioned, he went to Pittsburgh, but they traded Pittman to Pittsburgh for a couple late-round picks, and then they gave Alex Pierce a big deal. He's on the PUP right now, but I don't see anywhere where they expect him not to be available for the year. We'll see, but he is expected to ramp himself up to be available, and we're over a month away from the season, so we'll see how that goes. Well, you know what the Colts are going to do? Run the ball, throw the ball to Tyler Warren and Alec Pierce. That's who they are.
Yeah.
Well, whether Daniel Jones is healthy or not certainly is a question, but he is saying he'll be ready to go. They are an offensive line which they've built to block for Jonathan Taylor, have him in offensive player of the year conversation. And Daniel Jones, despite them investing in him after his good first half of the year before he got hurt, that is not who they are. They're not a quarterback-driven team. That's an O-line-driven team with a great running back. And I think they believe they have enough at receiver, particularly if Alec Pierce is fine. And to answer your question, no, Westbrook Akina ain't going to do anything. He was a touchdown maker in Tennessee his final year there. He was a nothing for the Miami Dolphins in his 1 year there. That's why I think he signed a 3-year deal and he only lasted a year. Now, it doesn't help that the staff that brought you in got fired, but that was a bad free agent signing for the Dolphins. They have done that over the years, and that's why they've been a pretty mediocre franchise for pretty much my entire adult life. But we know who the Colts are. As long as Jonathan Taylor's there and Daniel Jones is upright, they believe that they can duplicate what they were offensively last year. That we will have to see, because they are one of the best offenses in football last year before Daniel Jones got hurt.
That was really weird when that happened. At the first, whatever, seven,
what,
eight,
the fact
9 weeks.
Daniel Jones is leading one of the best offenses in football?
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was really weird.
Who could have expected that?
like legitimately, better than the 07 Patriots and any Colts team ever, like, for almost half the season.
You mean the franchise that had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck as their quarterbacks?
Yes. Yes, and a lot of very good offenses.
Yes.
Between the two. And I don't, and it was, I guess, a similar cast of characters, but that, It really goes to show you that, like, you pull up the depth chart and you're like, this could just be the best offense of all time. And it's Daniel Jones. Jonathan Taylor is really good. And then, like, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs.
Yeah.
Ashton Doolin.
For as much as you're concerned about Michael Pittman leaving, Keith, he had like 80 catches and under 10 yards per catch. He was a possession receiver who didn't provide many explosive plays.
I think the Colts will be kind of feisty. I don't know about like win the division.
To expect them to duplicate what they did in the first half of the season, that might be a little much.
Be the best offense of all.
Yeah. Now, they have tried to help their defense, and that's why they traded for Sauce Gardner, because if you remember, they were rolling out there with the corpse of Xavien Howard for the early part of their season, and that didn't work out.
They love themselves a former Dolphin.
Yeah, they brought in Tarvarius Ward, who's back from injury.
Yeah.
And they have Sauce Gardner, who is back from injury, too, now. And then you throw in the drafting of C.J. Allen. They hope to be better defensively, so maybe they don't have to be one of the best offenses in football history to be a good football team like they were last year.
That should be their aim.
Yeah.
To be good.
Don't expect Daniel Jones to direct an offense that can be compared to the 07 Patriots, the team that went undefeated until they weren't when the Giants got them in the Super Bowl. I don't think that should be a reasonable expectation, but being good is fine as long as you have Jonathan Taylor, and then your defense can be better.
Yeah,
and they've done what they can. They have A.J. Halsey, a rookie from LSU who used to play with the Cougs. So they've done a lot to help their secondary, and they hope those additions can give them a defense that can complement an offense.
And we'll find out pretty quick. At least, like, we'll find out a lot about them. They start off Baltimore at KC, home against Houston. First three games of the season. Just like, here you go. Here's like, three kind of measuring stick, like, Who's going to be, you know, a real contender kind of game right off the bat. And then it gets into, like, Washington, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. They actually have a pretty easy schedule now that I'm looking at it.
I'm surprised Keith didn't ask about Vita Vea, maybe because he's not a street free agent as of yet.
Yeah, Vita Vea is like a Pro Bowler still.
So, yeah, it's way too good. It's too high of a tier for Keith to ask about.
Westbrook Akine.
Honestly, it would have, now that I think about it, it wouldn't have been Vita Vea. He would have said, what's Christian Wilkins up to?
He's out. What can he play?
He's out of work.
What'd he do?
What he doing? We don't know what he did, really. Something about something in the locker room. He was productive in Miami. Who's going to sign Christian Wilkins? That's the question he would have asked, and I would have had no answer because the Christian Wilkins thing is weird. There's nothing about him being ready to play football this year. He didn't play all of last year.
Yeah.
He signed a very lucrative deal to be a Raider.
He needs to get his message out there. Whatever it is.
Whatever the issue is.
He needs to either tell his side or whatever. Like, he should play in the NFL. He is good enough to play in the NFL.
He played in only 5 games in 24 before he got hurt. Had the alleged locker room incident, which kept him, along with his injury, out of the 2025 season.
Yes.
And now.
And cut by the Raiders.
Still not on a team in 2026.
Yeah.
And the Raiders signed him to a 4-year, $110 million deal with $84.75 million guaranteed. And he played a total of 5 games for them. 5. So, because of all the issues, including having to be investigated by the Human Resources Department for a football team, a football player being investigated by the HR team of a football team.
Not just any football team.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. All teams.
So he was able to receive about $50 million of his original contract for 5 games played. Maybe he doesn't want to play again. If you get $50 million for 5 games,
yeah,
you probably don't need to play again at 30 years old.
No.
But he didn't approach his rehab process in a way the Raiders would like, so they voided about $35 million of his contract.
I remember that part and being like, that's not great. But then there's some weird, like...
Yeah, he attempted to kiss a teammate on the head. Which, okay, the teammate likely didn't want that to happen.
Not great.
No.
And Human Resources, I guess, have to get involved.
And Christian Wilkins in a pile.
Where on the head?
I don't know. I don't. If it was on the lips, I think they would have said that. But
yeah,
on
cheek.
The, yeah, but on the head, maybe on the forehead or something. Christian Wilkins is known to get a little egregious in a pile, but normally it's not trying to kiss a teammate on the head. It's grabbing at a certain thing no player wants you to grab at. Josh Allen would attest.
Yeah, that. We'll just say with Christian Wilkins, like, human boundaries and his disregard for them, it shows up on tape. Shows up on tape. You pop it in, you can see.
Do you think we should have known something when, after Clemson won their title against Alabama, he did the splits in front of the a man that big, real willing to do the splits in front of the stage as they were celebrating? Should that have been a clue that something may be off? Is the splits enough for a 300-pound man to think, huh, he's different?
The thing is, it is kind of impressive that he can do it.
Yeah, that's what people were impressed with.
Yeah.
I don't know if that should have been a clue, or maybe we should have known as soon as he got into the league, he was taking towels off people to upset them. Like, you know, just taking the towel off of someone of the opposing team to piss them off and they try to get the towel back. Or maybe grabbing.
I thought you were men in the locker
room. No. On the field. No, on the field. Not grabbing a guy's towel after a shower. Not that.
Just locker room stuff, guys.
As he's walking over off the field or onto the field, as another guy on the opposing team was walking off the field, just snatched her towel to be an irritant.
Yeah.
I don't know which one
it's so funny
should make you think about him being an issue. I think grabbing at the guy's junk in the pile is the big clue there. But that's just what? Agitator, competitive.
Yeah. That's a, you know, you love it when he's on your team, you hate to play against him kind of guy.
But then he kisses
the team. They also hate it when he's on their team.
When he kisses you on the forehead, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, not to like be moral police here, but the amount of
stuff that happens,
people are allowed to walk back into a locker room for.
It's true. So the event was deemed playful. But except the unnamed teammate didn't like it. So then it went from playful to an HR department issue with the Raiders. And now he's still out of the league at 30 years old. He has not been able to get back in the league. There's got to be more.
Because I don't want to speak too much about, wait, so this guy reported something? An NFL player was like, Christian Wilkins kissed me on the forehead. HR.
Well,
I like the file.
So you say an NFL player. What about a radio producer? You don't have to name a name. Whether it's you getting kissed in the forehead or some other person here getting kissed in the forehead, do you think they go to our really small HR department about it?
I think it depends.
Think about it.
I think it depends.
I don't need you to name a person, but think about someone here kissing you on the forehead.
Yeah. But I mean,
they're thinking it's playful.
Locker rooms are different. Locker rooms are different.
It's true. But, you know, there have been radio shows called The Locker Room before.
That doesn't make it the same thing.
I know.
But,
I'm just saying, put yourself in that unnamed player's shoes. Sean Mapes just doing his job.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Cornerback for the Raiders.
Safety. Come on.
Okay.
Riley Moss and Cooper DeJean have given you a little bit too much confidence. You're Reed Blankenship.
Shut down corner.
That's who you should be shooting for, not nickelback Cooper DeJean. Okay? And if you're Riley Moss, you're just getting called for PIs anyway. You want to be a target by the referees getting called for PIs all the time, according to Patrick Surtain, when it comes to his boy, Riley Moss. So let's go.
I'm there.
Let's go safety for the Texans. Sean Mapes, and an unnamed troublemaking teammate who's a recent addition kisses you on the forehead, and he knows you don't want to be kissed on the forehead, because who does by a 300-pound man? You don't want to be kissed on the forehead.
Yeah, I guess him being 300 pounds.
I think that adds to it.
It does, because you can't, I mean, you can fight him. You're allowed to just fight
him. Yeah, get him off of you, but at...
There are fights in locker rooms.
But at, let's give you cornerback size. At 6'1", 205, you're a big corner.
Yeah, wow. That traits got me drafted.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they saw me cover an NFL receiver. They're like, yeah, maybe safety.
Well, the raw traits, like, let's get this guy in the building. We know D'Amico loves the trait.
Yeah.
That's why guys like Chris Henderson were here and Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson, and Okuda were here because of traits. Didn't work out.
And now I'm the other dart throw.
You're the next traitsy guy they bring in.
Minimum
and their big offseason signing plants one on your forehead, you go on HR?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't think so.
All right.
I really don't think. I think you handle it man to man.
I guess
it's an NFL locker room.
The question for me is,
there's rapists walking around.
Alleged. In some cases.
It's crazy.
I don't know if the player reported it themselves or it was seen and then it was reported. We don't really know how it went, but it'd be like that sometimes. Just
apparently it does be like that.
Just don't kiss me on the forehead, man, and we're cool.
I guess. And you'll never work in the NFL again.
Well, the rehab thing, I guess, played a part. He didn't take his rehab seriously.
It had to have been like Max Crosby or someone, right? And so he could make the boss call, be like, nope, he's out.
Who's got enough power?
Max Crosby.
To get their $80 million man out the door because he kisses them on the forehead.
I don't think it's Jonathan Abram. I don't think it's any of these other on the worst team in the NFL.
Was Hunter Renfrow on the team at the time?
I think he's also out of the NFL.
But that was his teammate at Clemson. So
yeah, that can go either way. Honestly, with what I have to infer from Christian Wilkins, being a teammate of him can either, I don't know if Hunter Renfrow would either defend him and be like, this does not reflect the man that Christian, or is that worse? And it's like, man, he was doing the stuff back in Clemson, man. Doing the splits, kissing people on the forehead.
Grabbing
people
in piles.
Yeah.
You learned it from Ben Bulware. They're all doing it. All right, we'll go to break. We got there. I don't know how we got there, but we did.
We spent a lot of time on Christian Wilkins.
We talk about the Joe Mixon thing a lot. I don't know how Joe Mixon is dealing with apparently being done with football. I'm interested in how Christian Wilkins is handling it too.
Yeah,
just out of the game. Hadn't played a snap since 2024 and doesn't look likely to play one in 2026. All right, we'll go to break. We're going to hear from a former Astro manager. AJ Hinch sat down and did an interview. He's made peace with what happened in 17 and the subsequent fallout that happened after that. He, if we remember, talked about wishing he had done more. We'll hear from AJ Hinch when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I've been unable to date when this story or this clip originated. I don't know when AJ Hinch sat down to say the things you're about to hear. It's just the internet. Someone grabbed a clip and didn't really credit anyone, so I can't do that, unfortunately. So the first part of the clip, which you won't hear, he mentions making peace with what happened in 2017 and his place in that. And then his friend chimes in and says, I respect you for all that. So we're going to start it in the middle of it, and we'll let it play. This is AJ Hinch reflecting back on 17 and his baseball life since.
I think for me, as I've always had the characteristic to feel responsible for whatever I'm responsible for, plus some. If you, looking back, reflecting back, having the experiences that I've had, knowing now the reaction of fans, players, coaches, media to, to the sign-stealing stuff, you should always strive to be better than what your expectations are. You should always hold yourself to a higher bar than everybody else does. And so I was in a position of power. I was in a position of leadership. For me to be what I want to be moving forward, you have to admit when you're wrong. You have to admit when you failed, or you have to admit when you would do things differently. Some of that is advice from sort of older mentors. Some of that is just kind of how my core beliefs are and how I'm wired. And part of it, I think, is is maintaining my responsibilities to protect the players. Everybody, we got caught up in a very nasty pursuit of perfection, and we're paying for it.
AJ Hinch in a sit down once again. Don't know exactly where this originated from. What I did find interesting is the person who grabbed it, put his own logo on it, and he does this for all the clips he grabs from other sources. He will grab a clip in one of the cases from The Old Man and the Three. It's a Nick Nurse interview, and then he'll throw on his name and graphic on the video as if, since he clipped it, it's somehow part of his, his archive.
Yeah, yeah. Every podcast ever is under his domain if he clips it.
Hey, if you want to use this, credit me.
Yeah.
Why? I can't credit you if you don't credit someone else.
From Joe Rogan, you have to credit me.
Look, I guess for video podcasts, if they want to play a clip and that's the only way they can grab it, they'll see his name on it. I'm not mentioning his name because he didn't source where he grabbed it from. So I can't even give you a hat tip, as they say, because you wouldn't even tell people where you grabbed it from. It's just a video with AJ sitting down with, I guess, a friend of his. Thinking back to his initial, hey, I wish I would have done more, I wish I would have stopped that. Even the story about him like breaking computer at the time. Come on.
Oh, he did what he could.
Sure.
Break the monitor.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So now they can't steal signs.
So the manager just lost complete control, right? Carlos Beltran overruled him at all turns and said, sorry.
Things got out of hand.
So he admits he should have and probably could have done more. And yeah, if you think about it in the way he said at the end, protecting the players, a lot of players caught a lot of heat because of, I guess, a team, maybe not a team-wide, but certainly a majority of that clubhouse being in on it. And is it the manager's place to go, hey, guys, no, we're not going to do it? Probably. But he didn't do it. He's admitted to his culpability in it. But I think more people have a problem with him pitching Will Harris. I think people have a bigger issue of him pitching Will Harris than anything involving his role in the sign-stealing scandal.
That didn't cost him a World Series.
The Will Harris incident, as I like to call it, did.
The
incident.
We have to talk about the Will Harris incident.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, for the Nationals, it's the Howie Kendrick at bat.
Yeah.
For me, it's the Will Harris incident.
The 2019 Will Harris incident.
Yeah.
In downtown Houston.
That should be investigated. AJ Hinch. When Will Harris told you he was done for, he had nothing left, why'd you pitch him? Were you trying to make good for what you felt was a World Series that shouldn't be because of 2017? Were you trying to hand the baseball gods a sacrifice, and Will Harris was that sacrifice?
We got to really earn this one. If we want to win, we got to play on hard mode.
Yeah, and by that, we're going to use a pitcher who has announced, I got nothing left. I'm gonna roll him out there, and if we win, that means we really earned it.
Instead of the best pitcher in baseball,
I didn't want to bring him in at in the middle of an inning. I wanted him to start an inning. Okay,
sure.
Okay. That's what he should apologize for,
or keep Greinke out there. I mean,
either way, you
basically had two like Hall of Fame players. He could have pitchers, and he had three options.
Two of them
were Hall of Famers.
The third one. Will Harris. Where's Will Harris today, by the way?
I'm sure he's living a happy life. Fulfilling.
This isn't even about Will Harris.
No.
His manager put him in
a... It shouldn't be about him.
His manager put him in a tough spot. Will Harris is out of baseball. He's like 41 years old. Of course he's out of baseball. He was born in Houston. He may be listening to this and going, you know what? They're right.
Will, we're not blaming you.
This isn't your fault. You told everyone...
You did everything you could.
You told everyone you were pretty gassed.
Yeah.
And your manager,
you're a great pitcher before that too.
Called your number, and you answered the call.
Yeah,
and it went poorly.
Yeah.
Self reflection. Give me some 2019 self reflection.
That is, I mean, again, that's why he needs to do like an Astros media. I guess he's currently the Tigers.
He can't really do that now.
Yeah, but like
Tigers fans have their own problems with him now.
Because Astros media, they won't ask you about the sign stealing scandal. I want to know about the 2019 World Series.
Yeah.
I want to know about that.
I know you said at the time, as I mentioned, that you didn't want to bring Gerrit Cole in in the middle of an inning.
Have you thought about that since then?
Yeah. Have you? Can I get an answer on that?
Damn it, no.
Start demanding things from him.
In your last act as a Astros manager, probably not actually. There's probably a pinch hitter or something. But your last act.
Consequential act, at least.
As the Astros manager, was that. Explain yourself.
If, you know what? Jim Crane used the scandal to cover up his fury about bringing in Will Harrison, and he was going to fire him because of that. That's fine with me, too.
I realize I'm just doing the Texas Tech beat writer from Media Day to whatever, your check, where I'm just going, or not your check, what your mark, where I'm just going, you claim that you care about Astros baseball. However.
You claim. You say.
How do you answer to Astros fans that, like he's running for president? And he made a decision that cost lives.
I'm a manager, sir. I didn't declare war. I made a mistake. A costly one, though.
Kendrick.
just unleash all your pent-up frustration.
I mean, it's like probably like top five moment for me of just like, what the? You're so close to winning a World Series.
John likes to say five outs. Was it eight outs away? Eight outs away?
Yes.
It was the top of the seventh inning when it happened?
Yeah.
Just crushed that building and rightfully so and deflated the
crushed
team.
The franchise. The franchise has never been the same.
Well, I mean, they would have three instead of two, but they did win another one. It didn't immediately. It didn't really crush them. They were still competing.
The GM and manager got fired after that game.
For different reasons.
They had to go on a 3-year-long apology tour.
Imagine that. Imagine having another World Series in your back pocket. Like, wow. Like when Altuve and Bregman had to show up at spring training
and do the prayer hands,
but they had a second World Series they were going to celebrate during the season.
Yeah.
Although that would have been the COVID year. Right?
Yeah. It was right after the World Series. It was actually right after that World Series.
Yeah, the news broke thanks to one Mike Fiers.
Rat.
Rest of baseball would call him a whistleblower. But for us, rat.
Yeah. Him
Snitch.
Him and that Raiders teammate of Christian Wilkins. Well, two whistleblowers.
I'm not calling the unnamed teammate a whistleblower or a rat because, you know, some guys just don't want to get kissed by another guy. At least not by a teammate. All right, we'll go to break. We will, we want to go deeper in Astros history. We'll do that when we come back, thanks to this call. Back to the start of all this, as far as the Astros becoming a dominant force in baseball. We'll get to that with John when we come back. John on the north side, what's up?
Hey, man, I had to pull my car over to the side because people don't remember this. 2016, I think, is when the Kansas City Royals won the championship. We played them. We had them beat. Remember down here in the sixth game, I think we were winning 6-3. A.J. Hinch, instead of bringing in Keuchel, the Cy Young winner that year, which was probably Keuchel's best year, instead of bringing him in the game to shut it down, he brought in, I think it was Will Harris. I think we lost that game 9-6, I think it was. And then we had to go to Kansas City for the seventh game. That's when he decided, I'm gonna put Keuchel in the seventh game. Man, you was a dollar late and a day short. Do you know Kansas City was not a great team? They was a hot team. When I was young rookie, Correa, Altuve and all of them, do you know we could have won the World Series that year too? And so he did. He made the same decision again, as you were saying, in the Washington Championship Series. And after he did it twice. He did it in 2016. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, Sean brought it up as we were in a break. It was back in 2015, and he mentioned Will Harris being brought on. I'm actually looking at the video. It's titled Kansas City Royals Game 4 Epic Comeback, unfortunately. And remember, Tony Stipp was on the mound, bases loaded. He threw a pitch that would have been a double play. It hit the mound, bounced, and then it bounced over Correa's glove as he was coming in to turn two. And that led to the Royals tying the game, two men on, no out. And as you laid it out, it wound up 9-6. It would have been 6-5, I guess, but it would have been two outs, and Tip or whoever they would have brought in would have had a chance to get out of the inning and go to the ninth inning. Instead, it came up on Correa, a young Correa, just looking at him, just looking at how young he is.
Must have been like rookie or second year.
Came up over his glove as he tried to make a play, and it led to the Royals tying the game. And as you laid it out, John, went to KC, and they beat the Astros. That could have been certainly a potential World Series appearance. I don't know if they win it, but they would have gotten to the ALCS. So that's tough. Yeah. It was Sip first, and then Will Harris came in, I believe.
At the scene
of
the
crime. Was Gregerson on out there, too? Oh,
Luke Gregerson. Wow.
I think Gregerson.
Wow, what a blast from the past.
I think Gregerson gave up the game-winning hit. Altuve makes a great play, but can only get the one out instead of turning two. He dives to his left. Can't turn two. Gregerson gives up the run. I guess Keiko, I don't remember exactly all of it, where's Keiko available, but John's saying he was. Yeah. Look, you're a manager. Some things aren't going to work out. You want to blame him for Correa not turning two? Okay. That one I wouldn't put on him, at least that particular thing. I will put on him 2019.
19 is pretty bad.
That's easy to put on him. And one Josh Fields makes an appearance, the same one, I believe, who got traded for Yordan. It's a blast from the past.
It really is. And it's all like this guy would later get traded for the 2026 AL MVP. Like
he gave up a bomb to put it out of reach for the Astros.
Yeah.
The whole building was done for anyway, but the team was done, and then he decided, you know what, I'm going to add a little bit to it.
It is crazy to think back before the seven straight ALCSs about just the mentality. Because that's what I always thought about the Astros, especially like after 2017 and after, where it's like there's always like a certain belief that's like when the bad things happen, it's like they still might get back up and you know, dust themselves off and go down swinging. Pre-2017, just any Houston sport, I'm like, nope, it's over. Lay down. That we're good. Luke Gregson ruined it for us. Chris Fields or whatever. Justin Fields. No, not Justin Fields. What's the Fields? Josh Fields.
Josh Fields, yeah.
Yeah. Just, all right, whatever. Sim to finish. Royals win World Series.
I was just trying to make sure, because I always confuse this Josh Fields with, wasn't there a quarterback named Josh Fields? There are two players named Josh Fields, but the one the Astros had is the one that got traded for Yordan.
The post credit scene of the ALDS in 2015.
Like, if for whatever reason there's a movie made about that 2015 team, Josh Fields traded for Yordan Alvarez. That'll be that little synopsis of who he is and what happened to him after that moment where he gave up. Oof. I looked at that home run, no doubter. It's like one of those ones where the fielders don't move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where they just drop their head.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. Those aren't great memories.
No.
But things have certainly gotten better since.
Yeah, it makes me feel alive, though, you know?
To remember the times.
I don't feel as much watching the Astros as I did back in those days.
You were younger.
Yeah.
You had less success to think about. Mm-hmm. And now you've got two World Series in your back pocket.
Yeah. I was going to say both team and personal success to fall back on. I mean, much less back in 2015 as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I don't know what you were as a high school student, but you probably didn't accomplish as much as you've had over the last 9 to 10 years. Perhaps. Yeah. Or maybe you were a great student. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember. I just wouldn't know. I wasn't around. I don't remember. What am I saying?
You guys weren't talking about it on the show?
I would have no idea what Sean Mace was up to going through Catholic school. Yeah. No idea. I mentioned this early in the show since we're talking about the Astros. While this offseason has been, at least the one that just passed, is one where we see that Dana Brown didn't do a great job acquiring pitchers. Tatsuya Imai, another example of that last night.
Mike Burrows not even on the Major League roster.
What's the other one's name that was in
Ryan
Asia?
Weiss.
Ryan Weiss, yeah, wherever the hell he is now. But it's not like it just started this offseason. The Astros since 2022, here are some of the guys they've acquired. Abreu, 3 years at 58.5 at 36 years old. Montero at 32 years old, 3 years, $34.5 million. The Uncle Mike thing is fun, but not when he
didn't play.
Not when you can't play at 36 years old for one season. Hader, okay, fine. 5 years, $95 million.
I will give him a W on that, but come on. It's Josh Hader.
Yeah. And they also acquired him at 30 years old, but that one has worked out. Caratini, another one they acquired. Ooh. They signed at 30 years old, so he's $12 million.
Sneaky good.
Yeah. Christian Walker at 34. Outside of the first couple months of this season, it's not been good.
No.
They acquired him at 30. They signed him at 34 years old, 3 years, $60 million. Oh, Kurt, 1 year, 30, but he was 33. Imai, 28, so not old, but 3 years, 54, been a disaster so far. And then Christian Vasquez, not a lot of money, $1 million, 35 years old. So they've done a lot of signing older guys, in some cases, to lucrative deals. And those lucrative deals for the older players, not worked out.
Yeah. It's basically like
unless your name is Josh Hader.
Outside of Josh Hader, is like an inverse correlation of like, did you sign for a big deal? You're really bad. Did you sign for not a lot of money? Hey, you're Victor Caratini, you know, still good memories. Actually, were you a backup catcher? Actually, it's just the, are you Christian Vasquez or Victor Caratini? Hey, you know, pretty good signing.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of negative thoughts about the backup catchers in recent Astros memory. They come in, they do their job, no real disasters. Yeah.
They've been better than Yiner sometimes.
Certainly defensively.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it's not a great way to do business, signing a lot of 30-plus years old and just mid to high 30s for some of them. And the ones they've given lots and lots of money to, not worked out.
Yeah, the Montero one, bad at the time. Like everyone
said, don't do that. Like, what are you
doing? I know they just won the World Series, but yikes.
Why are you giving him, even though he was good, why are you giving him a multi-year deal?
And Abreu, doing Abreu Walker like back-to-back.
Not learning from your previous mistake.
That's also
although tough. Dana wasn't responsible for their Abreu one, but the organization as a whole, not learning, hey, don't sign old first baseman.
Yeah.
To multi-year deals.
It's like the same deal. It was both like, whatever, $18 million a year for 3 years.
Yeah, they did it twice. Now, Walker is a couple of years younger, but it has not worked out in the way they would like.
Christian Walker has now passed Abreu for time on the Astros. Abreu didn't make it past year two.
Walker has not been sent down to Florida to go find a swing. No. That has not happened as of yet. Although, according to reports, they were looking to send him anywhere in the offseason. It's just that he was not a desirable option for people.
And then I saw there's a Rome, I don't know if it was a report or just, you know, him on the podcast where it's like, it's possible for the Astros to buy but also trade Christian Walker. I'm like, that makes sense.
If you can.
It doesn't break my mind that it's like, wait, I thought they're going all in. Why'd they trade away Christian Walker? Like, no, I get it. It'll be, how the math works.
It would be good business if they could find a way to trade Christian Walker.
They've been trying to.
They can't get it done. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go here. And that was courtesy of the Astros locker. He put that together, a list of the guys they've acquired since 2022. Not a great – it's nice for him to put it together, but it's just not
– Oh, Peter Lambert, they acquired him. Let's – come on.
How old was he? I think his point was all these 30-year-olds. Yeah. Peter Lambert.
It's like 28.
29.
Yeah.
So that has worked out. One of the few that have worked out in recent memory for the Astros as far as certainly pitching. That has been a disaster. And Peter Lambert will go tonight. So we'll see if he can make up for what was a bad start from Imai. Because the bullpen, although Christian Javier did great work to limit the amount of pitchers who had to go out there last night to four, after your starter only goes a third of an inning, you'd like for Lambert to give you six if he can, seven.
Save the bullpen.
Yeah, we'd love that. And let's have a relatively relatively mundane win, so I don't have to hang out drowsily and watch the Astros because they're in Anaheim tonight.
Wrap this up by 9:45.
Yeah, can it be 8-2 in the sixth inning? So I can go, you know what? They got this one.
Yeah.
And if I'm surprised because they blow it, okay. But I'd rather be surprised than have to hang on for dear life like they would be in the bottom of the ninth because it's a close ball game. All right, we'll go to break with that, as I said. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Sean and I talked about this before the show began. It is a story that involves a head coach who isn't at fault in an accident, but somehow, I guess the lack of openness involving the Kyle Shanahan story has led people to ask questions. If you don't know, Kyle Shanahan was involved, and we mentioned earlier, Chris Forster. Kyle Shanahan was involved in a major accident for him. It was a two-car accident where he suffered the brunt of the injuries, like 40 stitches. He's going to be limited at practice as far as being able to coach the 49ers. And he is going to be okay. The other driver is going to be okay. According to the police report, the other driver was deemed at fault. Kyle Shanahan was in the notes was said to be holding a cell phone, which could be considered a citation, but no one was cited, even though it led to that type of accident. And it got people investigating, and by investigating, I mean legitimately looking into why the news took as long as it did to come to the forefront. The 49ers, I believe, were the people who announced the accident. It didn't come from the police, didn't come from a media source. The 49ers were, whether you want to say allowed or just were able to say, Kyle Shanahan's been involved in an accident. This is what's going on. Adam Schefter had a part to play in it as well. But it happened, I think the news broke about 11 days afterwards.
It was like 2 weeks of...
yeah, almost silence. We didn't know, and then we found out through the team and then Schefter the details. So, Chris Sims, college friend of Kyle Shanahan,
college
right?
Teammate.
That is the connection there. Their wives know each other, so you're going to hear him mention his wife, and that's why.
Because they have tattoos of each other's initials.
I always confuse them with the Shipley-McCoy thing.
Yeah.
I forget that there was a forebearer for all this. It was them, although
a little different.
Less success on both it, for both guys, both quarterback and receiver, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kyle Shanahan was a receiver for the University of Texas.
Just a little different as far as the results.
Success on the field.
For both quarterback and receiver.
Post-playing
in
career,
both combos. Sure.
I'll give it to him.
Sure. So you would say Shanahan and Sims won the war, but not the battle.
They made the 40-year decision, not the 4-year decision.
So when you say go to Texas, it's a 40-year decision. These guys will be a prime example.
I just came up with it. I'm the only one to have ever.
No one's ever. Yeah, yeah.
About a college.
It's unique. It's unique for you. You should make sure to trademark that before someone takes it from you. So the winners of the 40-year decision to go to Texas are good friends. And here's Chris Sims. You're going to hear. Well, he's on with Mike Florio talking about his surprise that it took so long for this to come out.
No, I hear you, Mike. Listen, I was sitting there every day after it happened going, is the news going to break today? Is the news going to break today? Is the news going to break today? Right? I certainly looked at my wife a few times in the last 12, 13 days, and we looked at each other and we were like, hey, this is pretty amazing. It still hasn't come out. But I think when you get down into it, this is where, hey, being goodwill, treating people the right way, being successful, yeah, being powerful as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, but being a guy that everybody in the community likes and knows, and that's where Kyle is gifted and cool. His ability, just like you heard Chris Forrester there, to talk to people, whether it's, you know, somebody really important or somebody down the totem pole a little bit that way. And yeah, I think, you know, between that and the goodwill that he's worked up there in the San Francisco area, and the fact that, of course, like you said, you know, I believe he was coming from a chiropractic adjustment at when this all happened, so he was close to the stadium. And as you know, and we know, these organizations are tied into the police departments that are around the stadium and the facility and all that. So yeah, with all that, I'm with you. I was surprised it took that long to come out as well, but at the same time, I understood it once I heard a few of those details that I just explained right there.
So, good friend of Shanahan is pretty much saying, Kyle's a good guy.
He's such a good guy. People are just like, yeah, we won't report it. It's a play on.
So
no,
I guess
no foul on the play.
You're playing the advantage like a soccer referee?
Yeah.
So I guess the question is this, because the speculation is leading to, at least people are thinking, why wasn't this reported? Is there a cover-up here? Was Kyle Shanahan more involved than alleged? At least the police are saying he's not at fault. This was the other driver's fault. Kyle Shanahan was the victim of a crash. But I don't believe either person was cited in the accident. While, yeah, he had a cell phone. Yes, she swerved into oncoming traffic. This is a play on here.
Yeah.
Apparently, which makes, I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan's at fault. I don't know why the police decided no one should be cited for this incident. But when you hear Chris Sims talk about the potential advantages of being a successful coach with some power, it leads you to wonder, is this more a journalism story or anyone using the delay as a potential thought that it's a cover-up?
Yeah.
I think it's more of a journalism story.
I think it is, too. And while, like, what Chris Sims said, like, could be right and probably is right, whatever. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's a bad guy, so I'll take his best friend's word for it.
Sure.
But I'm sure Florio, I mean, this is like just put it on the tee for Florio.
Yeah, he responded back with saying,
yeah,
well, that's not the way this should go.
Exactly. And it's like all that can be good and all that can be an explanation that, hey, Kyle's a good guy. We don't want to put him out there like that. Yeah, you feel bad that he's pretty seriously injured.
He can't even be around, he's fully around his team right now.
Yeah. So I can understand the human decision of like, you don't want to be the one to break the news, but it's also like, it's your job to break the news.
And it just makes you ask the question.
What else are you sitting on? All that stuff.
Well, we know about the end of season notebooks where a reporter will give you some of the stuff they weren't going with during the middle of a season.
Yeah, and then 12 hours after the coach is fired, the guy gets traded.
We hear all the things that they wouldn't give us during the year, I guess, to maintain some level of access or at least some level of a relationship with the subject matter of their end of season autopsy on the team. But it also brought to people's attention, and certainly mine, is Kyle Shanahan the only one who would be immune? Like if it was Ricky Pearsall, who unfortunately had his own brush with death. If we remember, Ricky Pearsall was shot, and he made a remarkable recovery to be able to play football again.
Yeah,
I don't know that Ricky Pearsall was given days while he was recovering before something was announced. Ricky Pearsall was shot. I think that news got out pretty quickly. I don't remember who broke that news, and certainly these news agencies, these news outlets have people monitoring police reports. It's part of the job just to see if a name that you recognize pops up in one of these. So I guess the question is, did they know and just decide not to talk about it, or did this one slip by? I have a hard time believing this one slipped by news outlets in that area. Because it would not have slipped by.
The head coach of the...
Yeah. How's it? You're going... Like, they have sources inside police departments, too. Yeah. I'm sure someone would have let a reporter know, hey.
Oh, my God. That's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. And yet, the team was allowed to form however they... A narrative or place a conversation in the story in a spot that they deemed beneficial. Now, Kyle Shanahan, once again, not deemed at fault. The cell phone thing, okay, but he's not the person who swerved into oncoming traffic. Thankfully, everyone survived, but there are certain people who cover the 49ers, or at least fans of them, are going to dig in because of how the story broke and the lack of openness regarding it. So I think it's more a journalism story, which sometimes can be interesting, sometimes not. But Kyle Shanahan, thankfully, he's okay.
Yeah. Go D'Amico Ryans. Do you even care if he's okay?
I did ask the question because John said, is it really a story if he's not at fault? He's a famous person. They become stories whether they want to or not. It's just part of the gig.
If you miss time.
And D'Amico Ryans, if he was limited due to a car crash that wasn't his fault, you would wonder why it didn't come out immediately if it came out almost 2 weeks later. Exactly. Just how it goes. Just how the business goes. All right. That music means we're done. Since we're done for the day, what's it going to be, Sean?
Shred up, Stroud!
More of a request.
Oh, you're asking for CJ to shred him?
Yeah, yeah. Please? So you don't have...
Honestly,
Cohen?
It's best...
Evan Cohen going at him?
It's best for all of us, just so we avoid... What are the Texans going to do at quarterback?
At least have it be Marcus Spears or something.
You want one of the top guys, not Evan Cohen. Don't worry.
No disrespect. Can't wait to listen to you tomorrow.
Don't worry. They'll get to it when they're back in. They'll get to it.
I'll listen to you tomorrow morning.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.